Welcome to another edition of This Is Silly with the Luligans. This is Mitch. With me always is Brad.
Hello.
And we have our new special guest tonight. It's Jim Shipley, GM of the Lions.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good to have you, brother.
It's also Mike's birthday.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Mike is here. And his older brother, John.
Beer Wench John.
Beer Wench John.
Thanks, John. So we got a shit ton of stuff to talk about this week, or month, or whatever hell we're on.
Seems to be a lot of things to talk about.
A lot. Where do we want to start? Because we got a lot.
I don't know. What do you want to start with? You've got the list.
It's your list.
Oh.
Okay. Well, we can. Let's start with the most recent big fun thing. We'll start fun. Because
Let's.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
No. Well, let's talk about the Piasaw because their season is officially over. I know, and then we'll get to all the fun things.
Okay. All right. We're cool.
So Piasaw ended their season in the playoffs
in Detroit.
It was in San Diego.
In San Diego.
They played Detroit.
Yes.
Is that how it worked?
No, I thought they played Detroit.
They were in Detroit. You're right. It goes on to San Diego after
that.
Right,
correct.
So Detroit won, and we hate those bastards. Yeah, it was overtime.
Reiniger tied it up.
Yeah, and that dreadlocked goofball,
did
I'm
he,
sure.
Did he win it?
I don't know, but he's on the team, and I hate him. So.
The train seal.
It's off to a good start.
But congrats to them on a good season to make the playoffs.
Had a good season, yep.
They overcame a lot of problems. Reiniger coming aboard was a big deal.
And yep.
Getting him out there, he still got it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was impressive. There's no question.
Yeah, he's my age, and I don't think he threw up once.
Well, not that we could see, at least. He may have done it like an intermission or something.
Well,
like
yeah.
Or before the game.
Not like on the pitch.
He didn't pull a Preston.
Nope. He did not.
Preston has a habit of throwing up in the middle of a game. I'm sure the three Bud Lights and two cigarettes before the game don't help. But
I don't know. On the field turf, though, it's all right. Just kind of stomp it in. Yeah.
It bounces a little bit, too. Sure. You can kind of push it off. It's kind of like blood on the ice in a hockey game.
Exactly.
But congrats to the Piasaw on a good season. Hopefully they build upon this and bring something back next year. It's not a good way to end, but it's better than zeros.
Yep.
So congrats to them. Moving on to happy stuff.
Now happy stuff.
Can I?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So since Jim's here, we can go ahead and move on to tryouts for the Lions. We attended. We had some of the Luligans attend Saturday. Brad, John, and I, and Kyle, and
Feist,
as always.
And Kyle's personal assistant,
yes,
Chris Feist.
His Taco Bell runner.
Got Kyle food, didn't get any of us food.
Nope. I was hungry.
Cody and Jesse showed up.
Jeff and Minnie Drake.
Yep. But,
and first off, it was warmer than last year, which was nice. Not by much, but last year was fucking cold.
Yeah.
I mean, last year was like 2
What were your thoughts, Jim?
It was a lot warmer than before. When you only have to put on one jacket.
Yeah, there you go.
Instead of four, it's really nice.
You didn't have to wrap up the face and the whole burka and
it
stuff.
It still does not compare anywhere near what our first year was.
How bad?
And it was about 2 degrees out when we were doing tryouts.
That's good for the ball.
It's good for the players, too.
Yeah, you can really really assess how a guy's going to play in the August heat.
Yeah. It was really difficult. It was difficult to identify players.
Okay, the guy with four gloves on.
Yeah.
That's Johnny. But yeah, it was definitely an improvement from last year, just in the talent level.
I think so. I mean, what did you think, Jim?
Yeah,
can you say?
I can say that definitely the talent level was up over the previous years. And actually, Tony and I had a conversation on that. I said, were we happy with what the performance level of us of the players or not? And we were overwhelmingly said yes, it was much better than previous years.
I mean, from a fan perspective, there were several guys that we were like, oh, look at him. Oh, look at, you know, I mean, all across the field, we were seeing different players that stood out.
Yeah, when you get them for 2 days, you really get to see, you go through your first round of evaluation of the players, and then you get to see.
You can actually say, get me a beer on the podcast. This isn't like, you know, a real radio station or something. It's on an internet.
Cut.
Nope.
No, but you get to see from the players, you get to see two different levels of where they stand. You know, the first time you get to evaluate them, rank them of where you see them, and then make sure on the second day you do get to see what exactly they are bringing. Put them with the right players,
right,
and let them perform. And right. And when you saw it on the second day, we had gone through that
right.
process. So we did put players in the right environment to see
and
how
put
they
them with certain people to see how they interact.
Right. Right. So when we got to see our final, you know, final listing of players we wanted to see, we had a really good idea of who was going to make that team.
Good.
Are we going to see a lot of these guys come? I mean, how does this process work then? Because we saw, let's just say, half a dozen to a dozen guys, and we're like, those are people we want to see next year. What's our return rate? What do we get out of this?
So from a return rate, we go back to our players, as, you know, the guys we've had in existing, and we start with that pool, and then we look at the guys who were on the field at that time, and we'll bring almost a majority of the guys that we chose from that from the tryout, bring them into the squad, let them work out with us. Sometimes they make the decision for us. Sometimes they'll come in and they'll actually start the training and then decide that they can't make that commitment. And when they do that commitment, you know, when they make that decision, it makes it easier for us. But at the same time, that pool starts to slowly dwindle
right.
down.
Like you ran into last year with the forwards.
Right, right, right. You know, the funny thing was right before the tryouts, the two top forwards that we had coming in, a couple days before, we find out that both of them need surgery for this year. So immediately we're starting off the back going, okay, what are we going to do for forwards?
Right.
And as you can see, we had a large contingent of forwards out there this year.
Right.
So kind of ease that.
One of the things I wondered about, I mean, I'm sure every year it's you kind of never know what you're going to get talent-wise. But do you think the affiliation with Celtic maybe drew some more players to your program that maybe wouldn't have come last year? Or?
I think it does have a fact. It does affect that process. We do get a lot of emails from kids around the country who are interested in coming just because of that affiliation.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think there are a lot more. I think the collegiate players are a lot more savvy and looking to see where are teams that need that help.
Sure.
And so we had a couple of guys said, I came here because last year you struggled with the forward position.
Right.
And you struggled to score goals, so I figured I'd have an opportunity.
And I guess with the internet now, it's so easy for kids to see, you know, the different programs and what they're doing, things like that.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the other thing, too, is that I noticed that there were guys from bigger colleges this year.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, the smaller regional colleges. You had, you know, a guy from Memphis. You had a guy, you know, you're getting some significant programs.
Well, part of that is also doing NCAA Division I made a ruling that this year they were doing away with their spring seasons. And so that does help that guys, many more of those guys are looking for
right.
opportunities. So
just to get more playing time. And
that's exactly right. So you do see a little bit more of that this year.
Cool.
How are we going to do in returning guys?
You know, that's up for Tony on his decision with those guys, but I do know that there's quite a few guys coming back. I know that they weren't at the tryouts for various
Sideshow
reasons.
Sideshow Bob.
Yeah. that's always something. We have to look at what the local players are and what the number of international players are. We are restricted on that, so on the international amount of international players. So we need to –
What's the restriction?
Well, the restriction is you can have 8 on the field at one time, and you can have 8 in your starting 18. But so we need to we'll put together a pool. And
sounds illegal to have 18 people on the field at once.
Oh, come on now, you know what I mean? It's 18
right.
as far as
your
roster is concerned.
Yeah.
But we'll have we'll take on about as 32 to 40 guys, and let them compete every week for the starting 11. As well as getting into the 18, the roster of 18.
Are there some players that maybe Tony knows or is in contact with their coach at college level who he invites specifically that he wants to come play for the Lions, or do they all have to go through the tryout? I mean, say I'm a top-ranked college player. Could I just, you know, Tony wants me in the team. Does he bring people in outside of the tryout system to see how they fit with the squad? Or
well, what we do is after the tryouts, we'll have a number of guys that are coming in just working out.
Couldn't make the tryouts for whatever reason.
For whatever reason. And they've been identified, and we'll bring them into workout sessions.
Because
we'll
I'm sure you guys have a network of
yes.
friends and coaches and scouts throughout the country that
I think this is the biggest thing. one of the things that I'm actually more proud of than on the Lions side than the guys going to the major league level or to professional ranks, I'm more excited about the number of players that we've had in our system who are now coaching at a collegiate level.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that. With the number of guys who are in that collegiate level coaching positions, we're taking or finding more opportunities for the youth player in the St. Louis area to have a contact to get into college, to get to play.
That's nice.
And it's building it in that realm. So it's not only promoting a guy to the, you know, the pro ranks, but just promoting a high school player.
Right.
But that's good, because that was one of the things that I always kind of, I don't want to say wondered how it, the integration happened, because with the colleges, they have their own systems, and whether or not that collaborates with the PDL stuff, it's always seemed to be, well, it kind of does, but for some players it does, and ignoring, you know, the Scottish midgets that that we like to have.
You're talking about Tony?
No, we love Johnny.
Oh, Johnny. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
That would be a penguin.
But it was always one of the things that I wondered, where it's like, okay,
Mike,
how does that work out?
Mike, can I have a beer?
Which one?
I don't care. Just bring me a beer.
That's how it works. You just holler for one of the loving hosts to provide.
That takes precedent over any conversation going on.
I will say this is the best decorated studio I've ever seen.
It's not saying much. I've seen the ones that you've been in. Yeah.
And I will say this one does look nice, but John's wife doesn't think I'm funny. That was the last thing she said on her way out the house.
That's actually accurate. That's the funniest thing.
We'll tell you that story sometime. Okay, so tryouts were a big success overall.
They were. We're pretty excited.
Good.
You know, that's from what we've seen, we're looking to put a good product on the field, and we'll do the best we can.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited.
Wait, everybody's excited.
Yeah, excited just to get back to outdoor season and all that, but I'm actually excited about what we saw, tryouts. It looked like we can have some, you know, fun out there this year.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
You know, we'll put the best we can on the table and see what we can get.
No, it was exciting. And that was the thing, too. I mean, again, speaking from our experience, last year it was like, okay, this is interesting to see. It was our first tryouts to watch and stuff like that. But then this year it's like, holy shit, some of these guys can play, as opposed to what we saw all season last year. That there was definitely a step up in talent. And the other thing I was very impressed with, too, is that I saw a lot of these guys coming in that seemed to be a little bit more adaptive than what, you know, it's like, okay, you got, you know, a bunch of strangers coming together, got to be a team within a month. They seem to pull it together real quickly.
Yeah, they did. They pulled it together.
It's real called quick. Headlights. It's okay.
No, I just saw somebody running from the car.
Oh, it's the mean streets of Fenton, yo.
Yeah, understand.
All right.
So what's next?
I actually did want to go back to the tryouts on that real quick and say, you know, having you guys out there to be supportive of the guys, get them out in a huddle on the side of the field. It was kind of funny. You know, I said, hey, look, the Luligans are going to ask you some questions and they have a video camera. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I can't control them. And I have no idea what they might ask you. And then I just looked around and I said, you're first up. I told them to go over and meet you guys. And
I still think my favorite was
Matt Darrington, the
goalie. Yeah, the goalkeeper. What do you think about being the only guy that can use your hands? He looked at me like I was from Mars. It's good. It's good. So
you have to understand, these guys are, I mean, they're
the
concentrated on what they're doing.
Out,
the pressure's all
sure,
on
sure.
them. I mean, you guys are cracking them up.
Well, yeah. That and Ernod doing jumping jacks behind.
Right, Pat. That was good.
It was like, yeah, this is a little more loose over here. It was also kind of interesting, too, because not to pat ourselves on the back, but in this conversation, is that, you know, we saw a couple guys come over and talk to us, and they went back. And you saw the other guys, like, what's going on? And,
yeah.
and these guys kept looking over at us, like, oh, do I get invited over? You know, right. It was...
See, that's the first thing I thought was, like, if any of these guys were half cocksure, they'd have walked over, like, obviously you want to interview me.
Right.
You know? It's like, just to get their, you know, video, you know, into the mix of...
Well, it's funny, but it's just something else that we add, and you guys add to the environment, and that's why we always like to have, you know, you guys at the games. I mean, you bring the environment, and you bring something different. So,
I wanted John to work a stopwatch for you.
Exactly. I mean, his timing was a little bit off on those. For some reason, his guys ran a lot faster than the other guys.
Seven. 12.
Is there a 3 in there?
Yeah.
Did I hear a niner? Yeah.
All right. So moving on. Next thing up, I think we want to talk about the St. Pat's Parade in Cottlesville.
Most definitely.
Yeah, I wish Mike was here for some more information. But the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Cottlesville is really a big parade. Surprising that people are, you know, nice.
You're welcome.
Professional.
Hey, I made sure I was off, Mike.
I bet we heard it. Anyway, go ahead.
It really does get around 20 to 25,000 people.
No shit.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Well, it's really big.
And I think it combines a lot of elements that are what Lions soccer is about. I mean, we're right there in town, so that's a good audience to go after to make sure they know about the Lions. It's St. Patrick's Day, which, you know, the green and now especially your tie in with Celtic and the hoops. Beer. God, who doesn't love beer? I'm excited to do the parade, to talk to some people out there, and maybe spread some information about the Lions.
And that was one of the things, too, is that, and Brad and I had kind of talked about this a little bit tonight, is that, and this is kind of a challenge to the Lulligans that want to come out and do this, because obviously the more we can get, the better. And I know a couple guys have things going on they've posted, or they're doing the one down in Dogtown. If you're not doing something, come out, because first off, you know we make shit fun. I mean, let's be honest. Just that alone. It's, you know, we're going to have fun. We're going to try to go to Exit 6 and drink a few beers and show them what we got. And, you know,
try to convince Exit 6 to maybe become a Lions sponsor.
Exactly. And how better to convince them by drinking a ton of their beer?
Right.
And I'm up to that challenge. I don't know about anybody else, but I accept that challenge. Yeah. But
we're also looking for a place to hang, you know, after games this season.
Before games, after games, maybe during a game if they're really.
If we're beating somebody 10-0.
No, I mean, we made somebody on a beer run. Yeah.
Mike. if you can go, make sure you say you want to go. You know, let's try to get a good head count.
We'll be posting stuff on our Facebook and Twitter pages. And
let's try to see if we can get, you know, maybe some Mardi Gras-style beads that are soccer or St. Patrick's or anything that we can hand out to the kids to show, hey, these drunk idiots aren't just drunk idiots, that, you know, there's actually some soccer going on. Let's try to, you know, be fan-friendly and get out there, and maybe we should keep Rocco away.
Yeah, Rocco's not invited.
Yeah, that's probably good.
Yeah, I could just echo the sentiment on that, is that come on out and support. I mean, look, traditionally, I've always been down at I believe I've been down at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dogtown, but it's one of my favorite holidays. Sure. So getting out and promoting what we have is what we need to do. And that goes from not only to people in the organization, from top to bottom, from, you know, the ownership to players, but fans. We need the help to support that.
And in addition, we do know some of our guys are going to the Dogtown Parade. If you see a guy in a Celtic shirt, make sure you tell him about the Lions. I mean, we're constantly amazed. I mean, ran into another guy today online who didn't know about the Lions. I mean, we feel like we try our best, but, you know, we don't reach everyone. So there's always new fans to be made. There's always new people to tell and spread the word to. I mean, if you see a guy in a Celtic shirt, that's an easy one. Because at least he knows who Celtic Glasgow is.
I hope.
I mean, hopefully he's a soccer fan. And, you know, it's a good way to say, hey, you know, we've got an affiliate program right here in St. Louis. So make those connections.
Yeah, and again, people are drinking. Everybody's a little bit friendlier when they're drinking up to a certain point.
Yeah.
So, it's not that hard. And one of the other things, too, is that I know Brad had designed up a, I don't want to call it a business card, but for lack of a better word, a business card last year. You know, we can make those available if you want to print them off and just hand them out. Whatever we can do to help each other get more people out there, I think is really the core of it. Because at the end of the day, this is all shaking hands, smiling, and not being assholes and getting people out there.
Right.
And
I mean, you know, Mitch and I talked about this earlier today. And I know Jim has been to the Amsterdam, Barristers, O.B. Clark's, all the great soccer bars in St. Louis. And sometimes it drives me absolutely crazy when I see on Sunday they had pictures at the Amsterdam of, you know, 300 people packed in that little bar to watch the United game, which is great. You know, love that. I wish half of those people would come out and support their local team, whether they know about it or don't, or for whatever reason. You know, there's a ton of really great soccer fans in St. Louis, and we just want them to come out and experience the live version of our game.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there are a lot of people who are major fans of the English Premier League, and you know, there's this groundswell of the MLS support. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, I was laughing the other day when I was with Tony, and I said, I'm actually excited about the MLS season.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, that would be the first time I've ever been. And I'm a soccer. I mean, I've been involved in soccer for
it's
a long time.
It's really, really, really ramped up the last couple of years. Yeah.
So, you know, there are some people out there who might support the EPL or MLS, but they might not know about us, and we just have to make sure that they're aware of it. You know, if we put the right product on the field and we win,
right,
then, you know, that will come.
Well, and that's the thing. You do your job. We do our job to show up. You know, if you're doing your job right, we're showing up. If we're showing up, you're going to do your job right. It's very much a handshake, cooperative, collaborative thing. The more people we can get to show up, the more those guys are going to play hard. It builds itself.
But I think I always like to compare it to Stevenage is going to be playing this weekend in the FA Cup. All right? The Lions were Stevenage. All right? Mm-hmm. So let's do the best we can to support what we have and go out there, because there's nothing better than having a small team, you know, eventually make it. And, you know, and what I mean by making it is, can we prove that we have enough support and viability for a major investor to be with us to take us to the next level?
Yep.
I mean, that's really what you're looking for, is prove yourself as a fan, prove yourself in St. Louis, and let's get to the next level.
And I mean, and even speaking to that point, you know, I try to tell people, because we all want MLS in St. Louis. We all want, you know, top league soccer. But just take a minute to really appreciate what we have. You know, we have access to the players and the coaches and the GMs that you would never get at the MLS level. So, I mean, I'm excited to watch this thing grow. I'm excited to be a part of the Lions exactly where they are.
And that's one of the things, too, that always gets me. And admittedly, I know I get the internet rage every once in a while. But you see these guys like, oh, look at what Portland's doing. Or, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, they didn't get there overnight. This didn't just get bought and built.
They were USL, you know. Yeah. Not too long ago.
Right, exactly. This has been a slow ramp up.
Yeah.
This shit didn't happen overnight. You know, granted, yes, some teams like Real Salt Lake, yes, that happened overnight. That
right.
was built, and nothing against. I like it. That's cool.
Right.
But you look at those kind of Montreal, Vancouver.
The last four or five teams that have come in have a pedigree and a history.
Precisely.
And even speaking to the 20th team, which we all assumed was going to be the Cosmos, now lo and behold, Orlando City is making a real strong claim for that 20th spot.
You know, a couple of years ago when Orlando was coming about, that was one of the things Tony and I actually talked about. We said, I wouldn't be surprised as if Orlando is that 20th team.
And they're doing it the right way.
They're doing it the right way. I mean, I know the reasons why they moved from Austin to Orlando, and it upset some people. Moving the night reminds you of the old Baltimore Colts.
Right, right, <You know>? Right.
But it was, for them, it was the right move to make. And they saw a market where they could build on it. And so I think they got a market in Orlando that they can make MLS work.
And they're averaging like 5,000 fans a game, mm-hmm. which for USL Pro is great. And their fans are really into it. So, I mean, that's another thing that we have to do here in St. Louis. You know, at the PDL level, if it moves up, we have to keep growing. But, you know.
Every step is fueled by the support.
Right.
I think that's the one thing that's, you know, like you're saying.
Because it proves to an investor or whoever that's going to invest money, okay, I've got a group of dedicated fans here who are, you know, behind this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I was always partial to Orlando. I mean, you know. Rawlings down there he's got some deep pocket investors who really want to go to that route, and he wasn't getting it in Austin, but in Orlando he found the right market for it. I'm partial to Orlando as well because a former Lion played over there, in Lawrence Olam.
Yeah,
so Lawrence was down there and he told us a lot of good things about what was going on. And
well, and Jack Traynor,
Captain Jack,
and, you know, you guys knew Jack Traynor's
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, which I mean, which is personally great to see that kind of stuff happen. But that's again, and they did, that's the point. That's our guy that went somewhere that did something right, and there's the rewards coming. Right. You don't. This is America. And you don't get shit handed to you.
Right.
You know, it's you have to earn it. You have to build it up.
Right.
And oh, it drives me fucking batty. and it's like, let's do our own thing. Let's not steal other teams' chance. Let's not copy this. Let's make it our own and make it strong and solid with a good foundation. And then we get the rewards whenever they come.
Right.
We're looking at you.
No. And in Orlando, you know, the city got behind the team because the team had the fans. I mean, it all kind of snowballs together there. And so, you know, we are where we are right now, but who knows where that will be 5 years from now.
So what was a famous Celtic statement? Without fans, there is no football.
Yeah. And
I think it's very true.
And that's the other thing, you know, the players appreciate, you know, I mean, because we've heard it, whether it was at AC or at the Lions, it does make a difference when there's a group of people yelling and screaming on the sidelines to those guys.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, we've seen it in every game that we've attended that, you know, we get in the guys' heads, the opposing players. How many, I mean,
right.
I mean, we make jokes about it, but we've broken three guys in indoor soccer. The sullen look on Sideshow Bob's face when we made him take a picture with us. That's not accidental.
Well, and even the guys who are laughing,
right?
They're out of their game just a little bit.
Well, like the one Brazilian guy when the USA played, we were like, "Hey, come on, you know, hey, everything's good." He's like, "Oh, no, it's good." Usually, they talk about raping my mother, you know. but he was aware of us,
right?
And that was the thing, is that it wasn't just, you know, "Oh, you guys made me laugh." Well, if we make you laugh, that's maybe a split decision that you don't make,
right?
So
I just encourage more of it, you know.
Beware.
I just
there's a lot of people listening that are stupid.
It's great to have that environment, and you know, even at the tryouts, one of the guys who he had been overseas, and he says it just reminds me of back home. He says you guys give me a bunch of grief while I'm playing,
and that was the thing too. I mean, even you know, we're standing on the lines at which. I do want to say while we've got that moment here is that thanks to you and Tony and Michael for letting us get down there and be a part of it. Because, again, that's the cool part. These guys are letting us be a part of this. I mean, I don't think you stupid sons of bitches out there realize how cool this is.
Instead about alienating your audience.
Yeah. Well, they're not coming in. The ones that aren't coming anyway, they're not listening. So, but the ones that are, this is what you can tell people. This is, you know. We're down on, you know, here's little Ian Drake dribbling a ball around and one of the guys walking by gives him shit.
Right.
That's cool. You don't, you know, you don't get this at MLS. Maybe Drew Carey buys you a round of beers or something like that, but you don't get that interaction. Take this. Run with this. This is fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to walk up to the GM of Sporting KC and say, who's that guy over there? You know, get the hell away from me, you know.
The GM
while we're announcing the game.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Jim, play a different song.
Yeah, we are going to have to talk about the music selection. Yeah.
We will get to the music section.
If I have to provide playlists for you, if we have to work on this, you know, we can.
All right.
We take requests.
This isn't a request. These are mandates.
No.
All right, so now that we've talked about all the greatness that's going to be the season.
No, we haven't. We haven't even gotten close to talking.
We've talked
about
a lot about it.
But we haven't really hit it all. Because we've got preseason coming up.
For fuck's sake.
We've got the schedule.
I was going to ask the man about season tickets. Because I'm sold. Now I want to go to the Lions.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I wasn't too sure. But now
we were going to get graced by your presence.
I think I'm dialed in. I'm ready.
Because I don't want you going half ass, and I don't have to drag you out to every game.
Well, I mean, I go to some games.
You have
like a partial season ticket package.
Do you have a Johnny Brown
We can make one.
But yeah, season tickets, they are available at the Lions site, right?
But
yes, go to www.stllions.com. And you can order online there, or just pick up the phone and call Michael and tell him your credit card number, and he can get you a ticket.
Okay. And are we going to have a St. Luligan package again like we had last year?
No question. Okay. We will definitely have it. We did the scarf party or the scarf design contest, and those designs are sitting there waiting to get the final approval on it. And I'm also getting my the designer or the actual company that's actually making them. And once we have that all established and the turnaround on it, we'll schedule the scarf party.
Cool.
And the special Luligan ticket offer.
All right.
Which I'd like to actually challenge more Luligan fans out there to find another friend who hasn't bought tickets in the past and see if they'll buy a ticket, bring them out to another game. So each person be up there for bringing one extra person.
What if you don't have any friends? Have you met some of our guys?
Yeah,
we do support the St. Patrick's Center downtown. It is Celtic driven.
But really, honestly,
I'm just kidding.
You know, no, it's
last season I bought, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but
yeah,
I'm a pretty cool guy. I bought 2 season tickets last year, so I would always have an extra one so a friend of mine could go, or if I got to the park and there was somebody there who was there for their first time to get them in for free, you know, on their, you know, I paid for it, but to get them in for free. And I still paid half of what I paid for AC tickets.
And a quarter of what you'd pay for MLS.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, think about that. Think about maybe just buying an extra one to take, you know, your kid one game or your wife one game or your neighbor or your coworker. I mean, just have that extra ticket with you so you can always invite somebody to the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy, it's cheap, and that's the other thing, too, is that if you didn't and you have a friend that wants to go, but you're like, you know you have us around, too. That there's
right.
going to be a handful of us that do this. Or, I mean, shit, I'd even, you know, for some of these guys, it's like, hey, it's your first game. We got you. We'll cover you.
Right.
There's beers on us.
Right.
Again, we say it once. We say it a million times. We love the idea of the free beer movement. Who doesn't like beer? Who doesn't like soccer? You put the two together. It's $5 or $2 or whatever the hell a beer costs out there. I don't know. I'm usually drunk at that point. But, you know, you provide a beer. You provide a handshake and a smile and a welcome and get them in there. The game does the rest. The Lions can do the rest.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly right. Get them to their first game, and 9 times out of 10, I think they're going to have a good enough time to come back.
I have yet to experience anybody who has been to a game who has turned around and said, I didn't have a good time.
Yeah.
Number one is they're closer than you can get at any other sporting event. I'm talking baseball, football, MLS. When you're with us, you're closer than you are to the – you're almost in the game. And then when you have the –
if you're Kyle, you are. Yeah.
We got his corral put up there. But, you know, and then the environment you guys bring on your side is, you know, we'll get more of our fans engaged in what you guys are doing as well.
And I think that is one thing we do. We wanted last year. We want to do more this year. Even if you're not going to sit and yell and be crazy with us when we score and everybody's singing, you know, the song, you know, we want everybody to get in on that. And when people start chanting, you know, the Glavins green and white, everybody to get in on that, because that just makes the whole environment better.
Well, and now a lot of the –
because we're all Luligans.
Right, and the fans are familiar with us. At first
right.
it was like, okay, who are these freaks walking in? You know, we were new to the Lions. The Lions were new to us. There was a lot of a feeling out between us and the fans.
And you guys are intimidating.
Well, just because we're so good looking.
I know.
I
look
but
in the
yeah,
mirror
I understand.
Before I go in, and I'm afraid of myself.
But right. Just, you know. And I think, yeah, it can be intimidating, but we want everybody to know, hey,
right.
we're all in this together. And,
yeah, and that was cool because towards the end of the season last year, you saw some of the dads showing up at the pavilion with us beforehand.
Right.
Kind of edging their way down. We're there at the far, far end. It's like,
well,
oh,
and
they're
when,
moving closer.
When little kids would come over to beat on the drum and they realized we weren't going to eat them, you know what I mean? Then, like, the dads are like, oh.
Wait, just because I'm fat doesn't mean I'm going to eat a kid, okay?
But, yeah, I mean, they started to get a little more comfortable with coming over and banging on the drum and
the megaphone. And,
yeah.
Well,
so,
except for Blackpool Mike.
Yeah, well, we got we can't let Mike on the megaphone
the
anymore.
All right.
Just take the
Mike, you're not singing the Queen's national anthem. Let's just put it this way. No chance.
Sorry, Mike.
Funny.
No chance.
Oh, Lord. But see, this is it. This is what I keep trying to tell everybody. Look at us. We're all
but
laughing.
But that's the
kind of
thing. Could a drunk old man wander in at an MLS game and up to the GM and say, I think I'll sing the English national anthem.
Well,
you know, no. Well, I mean, now Jim may think that's a good thing. But
George W. Bush does live near Dallas.
Well, that's
ba-dum-bum. Thank you.
So yeah, I'm going to sing the seventh inning stretch at this game
during substitutions.
Exactly.
When you say Bud, you said it all.
Okay.
Does anybody really want to know the schedule for this year?
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
I mean, we talked a little bit about tickets, but let's talk
about
the schedule.
How about before we get to the schedule, let's take a break because I have to piss.
Okay.
I'm not going to be Kyle and just walk away.
Okay.
And this will give us a moment to kind of because
I did like 5 minutes ago, but you can get up to go if you have to.
The problem is that I offered John my steam cleaner. I thought it would be really rude.
Well, yeah,
John
I figured John was going to clean the carpets next week anyway, so.
But this is the awesome thing. We have so much stuff we actually need to take a
break.
All
right, let's
That's
take
a
break.
Good thing.
Come on, you boys in green!
All right, we're back. Brad turned on his microphone this time.
Okay.
My bladder is empty. We got beers.
And we're with James Shipley, the GM of the St. Louis Lions of the USL PDL.
Can I just tell you how happy I am to be here?
I'm not certain if I believe him or not.
I don't think that was genuine.
I don't think so.
Who was the candidate that was with Ross Perot?
What am I doing here?
Admiral Stockdale.
Yeah.
Admiral
Stockdale.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I think you're only talking about the SNL version there. But that's okay, because usually the SNL versions are better than the actual people.
Yeah, they're pretty accurate. I mean, more or less.
I like that crack.
I think a lot of people vote based on SNL.
Oh, absolutely. Like that crack whore they had on playing Lindsay Lohan's hair tonight.
Oh, no, that was her.
Oh. My bad. Yay.
I feel compelled to use Bill Maher's line about Britney Spears. Can I unmasturbate to someone? As the sound of all Jim's friends turning the podcast off.
Actually, it's them going back through their internet browsing history. Damn.
So yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. All right. I had to say one thing that was inappropriate, so that was it.
I've been waiting for the bomb to drop, and you finally did it.
Once we get another two beers in him.
Yeah, he's...
It'll be like, fuck your Yankee blue jeans and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know. Okay, so.
So. Jim, we'll go ahead and go back to this now, since we've been talking about the whole affiliation with Celtic. You were in the hallowed grounds themselves. You were over there. You were doing trash pickup, I understand.
No, we were, could have been, should have been. With the affiliation with the with Celtic FC, they basically, for the first time in history, they decided to open their doors to the general public, and they invited all of the affiliate clubs across the world to come in. So,
how many are there roughly?
You know what? There's one out of New Jersey, one out of Boston, St. Louis, one in California. They're working on the others are in Australia.
And that's just from the states, yeah.
That's just from the states. But did you have Australia, Asia? You have Australia and Asia.
Would you prefer I just belch into the mic?
Whatever makes you comfortable, man. That's all right.
Jim, we are nothing but professional.
All right.
I can tell. We go, but then they got
like Santos Laguna. Did they have anybody from Mexico there?
No, actually, Santos wasn't there because Santos is busy playing in Seattle.
Right. I was going to ask you about that. Have you heard about the controversy?
Yeah,
I heard the
controversy. You know, there's some things that you hear when you're overseas and you just kind of chuckle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it made
me
chuckle.
I understand.
For those who don't know, apparently, now I don't know if this is Celtic proper or if this is one of the Celtic supporter groups. They sent a message to Celtic fans worldwide that they should support Santos Laguna in the upcoming CONCACAF Champions League game, who are playing the Seattle Sounders.
Yes. So the Seattle Brigade of the Celtic supporters got
right.
a little upset.
Right, sure, because...
and, wouldn't know why.
And that's the thing about Celtic. I mean, they are a worldwide brand. They have
right.
fans in every possible city you can imagine. So some of your strong ECS members, the Seattle Sounders supporters groups, are Celtic fans. And they get an email saying, please cheer against the Seattle Sounders.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in a way, it's kind of funny. Some guys took it seriously. God damn them. How dare they ask us?
I think the people in Seattle took it the way it probably should have been.
I think so, yeah.
And I think the people overseas, they kind of, you know, took more of offense to that.
Right.
You know, so.
But
it is kind of funny. I mean, if you ever want a good laugh, pick up a European or a British newspaper, and you know it's more tabloid rag than it is the actual facts.
That's why I go every morning when I get to work. Hello. I need to see what happened on UK Big Brother.
I know which paper you're checking out.
Page 3.
It's not the Sun.
Yeah. I've been married for quite some time. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah, it was a great experience. I mean, you know, guys from Kuwait, Spain, into Denmark, Asia, and there was really about 50 coaches there. There were to be a couple more other countries there, but there's some flight scheduling problems, and I couldn't attend. But it really was a great event put on by Greg Robertson, who is basically one of the academy coaches, and he went through and organized the entire event for 3 days, and it really was an open your doors, get to walk through the halls of Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, you basically got to see a day in the life at the Celtic program.
It was unbelievable. I can say that you walk in, and the first thing the first day we were there, minutes that we're in the park, we're right out in the middle, you know, right next to the pitch, you know, having a conversation on what the event is going to be like, and head up into some of the conference rooms that are up there, and kick off the event with some of the presentations, and it went from theory presentations on theory of the game to tactical presentations. And then at evening time, we were over at their training facility, which was 35 minutes away, and spent time on the field until probably 10 o'clock at night.
And you got to actually see, like, some of the young kids playing, practicing.
We got to see the young kids playing and practicing, just listen to the coaches on how they were presenting and organizing their practices, what they were working on. And it just goes to show, from the top down, the message was the same. It was the same style play. It was the same system. It was the same conversations or coaching points that were being directed. And, you know, from a kid who's 8 years old to the kid who's, you know, as a professional at 19, it is put together different. But overall, the theme was the same.
Right. Which, I mean, and I think, you know, we can talk about that in terms of the United States. You know, that was the big push when Jurgen Klinsmann was hired for the United States to put together a United States system, because for so long we had kids that were 18 playing one way, and then when they went to the U23s, they were asked to do something totally different. You know, that whole unified system, especially at a club like Celtic, makes so much sense for these kids that are moving up the ladder.
You're exactly right. We've had so many changes within the U.S. And granted, the United States is a huge country. I mean, there's so many different coaches from so many different areas, and the styles are different. And the United States Soccer Federation never went down and said, this is how we want you to coach. This is how we want to produce a player. Yeah. And they're finally doing that, and it's helping everyone out. Not everyone agrees right now.
Sure.
And not everybody will agree. But the groundwork's laid for it, that if enough people are, then a talent pool grows.
Yep.
Here's the case in point was one of the things that Chris McCart, he's a head director of the Youth Academy, he said point blank, we're here to produce Champions League players. Did he say that he wants to produce a championship team? No, he says he wants to produce Championship League players. And that's really the goal of what they're doing, is they're bringing through kids to develop them to be, whether they're going to go on to Celtic or if they're going to go on someplace else.
Right.
And, you know, and that's how it's a business for these guys.
Well, that's how you
that's
get
how
the
they
better
fund
players.
Their programs.
Right, exactly. Right. And that was that's the interesting thing to hear too, is that like you just said, they don't talk about, oh, we want to win this title, we want to win that title. We want these players to reach the pinnacle. It wasn't Olympic, it wasn't World Cup, it was Champions League. That's the best of the best, beyond a shadow of the doubt.
That is where they make the most money.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's cool to hear that it's this
well, and
different
it,
perspective.
And even as a philosophy, I mean, granted, not every 9-year-old they sign is going to be a Champions League player. Just can't happen.
No,
but,
it won't happen.
But if you have that philosophy, you're instilling excellence in the child, you know, in the young man, by the time, whatever his peak is, once he reaches it, he's been expected to live up to a certain level of excellence and
professionalism.
And professionalism that will help him in life no matter what he does.
Right. And that's one of the things that they're definitely preaching in their development. And it is really that's the reason why that they were a good fit for, you know, our program as an affiliate, is that some of the same principles that they built their program on, we built our program on here in St. Louis. And there are multiple people around the country who are building it on the same principles, and it fits just fine.
And like you said earlier too, it makes good coaches.
Yeah.
You get a repeating self-feeding system.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And that's unheard of. I mean, really, I mean, especially here in the States, it's win, 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 win.
Right.
Win. Win.
Well, they actually had laid out how many games you should be playing and how many practice sessions you should have in between those.
Right.
And it was really encouraging. And you know what? And for those who are out there that are listening, and we're not that far off.
No.
We really aren't. I mean, here from our complex that we have out in St. Charles, we've had the five fields and an indoor field, looking at the turf field. You know, Celtics just put that together 4 years ago.
I mean, that's impressive.
We've had ours for 14.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So I mean, we've been as far as facilities, we're ahead. We're more ahead of where they are, but from a teaching and a fundamental and a tactical and a technical, they're further ahead.
Right. Well, yeah.
No, but do you think that's a real estate thing that they're behind on that, or is it just technology?
They didn't embrace their academy systems in that way. It was more searching the countryside for the next player, and there were many, many organizations.
Which a lot of clubs are still at that, where they Correct. Buy their players, they don't mm-hmm. develop them.
Correct.
Chelsea.
City.
Yeah. Okay, you guys can, you know, we do it right. We buy our 10-year-olds.
here's something that was interesting on the trip. One of the coaches that was in the group with us and going through this was from Manchester City. He was a scout for Manchester City, and part of the FA development of scouts and for coaches in the UK is that they have to participate in these types of programs. So we had to listen to him. I for the life of me, I cannot remember the guy's name. Tony, he remembers everybody's right. name. He can tell you who it was. But the kid who was there, his dad was captain of City for like 10 years.
Wow.
And he's, you know, he's coming up through the system to become a next academy director, but he's starting off as a scout.
Sure.
So.
Well, and I think, I mean, this might be the perfect time to attribute some of what the Lions have done all these years to our head coach, to our owner, Tony Glavine. I mean, having grown up over there, kind of seen the different ways things have been done, he kind of started this in St. Louis, you know, at the Lions, and it's taken to the next level now that we're affiliated with Celtic, but he did a lot of the things right to begin with.
Yeah, you know, Tony's put a lot of effort into this, and he started a long, long time ago at putting this together, and I'm not just talking Lions, I'm talking about his club. Mm-hmm. When he built it and put together the facility, he was the first one to have a facility in the St. Louis area. I mean, everybody else was still renting fields, and now you look and see who's producing facilities. Lou Fuse just developed theirs. St. Louis Scott Gallagher developed theirs. Metro Strikers is now developing another one. You look at the development of teams like, you know, Avalon. Avalon is now partnering with West Ham and the Rush and bringing in a large organization. It's driving everybody into St. Louis to push the envelope of what we can to produce players, and that's. That's and, what and you want. And we're going to find the next. Right. We're going to find next great players in St. Louis.
And bringing St. Louis back to the level it was not too long ago, where St. Louis was the home of American soccer.
Well, and I think it even has been for a long time. It's just nobody pushed it to the next level. We were still.
I think some other communities caught up. Yeah, with St. Louis.
There's no question.
Yeah, we just didn't know how to take it. Oh, you know, it was. I mean, I hate to use this example, but it's like in any pro sport organization, it's like. Oh, well, they, you know, they figured out how to make this work really, or not pro sports, but in business.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I, you know, we sped up our machinery and we got all this working so much faster. Well, now everybody else adopted those mechanisms. They've caught up. We didn't change. And now we still had the same amount of talent. We just didn't know how to utilize it.
Right.
And now with these kind of systems, I mean, you look around town, everybody has adopted that system. It's there. You know, there's a ton of U7, U8 where it's not about winning. It's not about competing. It's about developing the foot skills, developing the team concept, passing. There's less of a fundamental focus on winning and more about development.
Right.
I like it. I'm happy. I mean, when the Celtic guys came over and talked to us, it was one of those moments where it's just like, holy shit, we are screwed up.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, not the Glavin system.
No.
But we've all had kids who've you know, whether my kids were in CYC or your kids were in, you know, whatever branch they were in the St. Louis, you know,
umbrella,
whatever you want to call the dysfunctional families of St. Louis soccer. You know, so much of it is, and a lot of it is, you know, where I'm at a little farther south, it's just a dad being thrown into coach that really has no idea what they're doing and, you know, win, that's all that matters. So the kid that's, you know, shows a little natural ability at 7 ends up being the only one that, all right, just get it to Johnny. Would you get it to Johnny and, you know, leave everybody else alone? I think we're moving beyond that.
I think you're right. I mean, in the St. Louis area, there are a lot of great coaches.
Right.
There's a lot of great organizations. And some of them are positioned regionally to take advantage of the market that they have. You know, teams are in those positions because of where people live.
Right.
But when you look at it, you know, everybody wants to win. Okay.
Yeah.
And the end result
winning
is...
pays the bills.
It pays the bills. At Celtic, if they don't win, then something's wrong.
Right, right.
Okay. So there's a little bit different. There's a development that's there, but they also strive to win.
Right.
We here in St. Louis, we strive to win. But at the same time, I think we need to really focus on development. And the winning will come.
And I think the pendulum is swinging that way more. I think more people are understanding that. I mean, is that what you see?
I see that a lot more. Matter of fact, came from the youth soccer coaches meeting earlier today. And we're all on the same page. We're all in the same sandbox. Good. We're for the most part learning to play with every, you know, together.
Right. Right.
Watch my words.
And for many years,
get
I mean,
that drop.
Yeah.
It's not just St. Louis. I mean, I think this happened nationwide.
It has.
Where you have rival clubs, and sometimes it wasn't always for the betterment of everyone. I think we're all kind of, you know, moving beyond that to, you know. We have a responsibility to each other and to all the kids to do the best for them.
Yeah, we could, you know.
You can say, could I have another Yingling, please?
Could I have another Yingling, please?
There you go.
No, it's good. You know, but opening your eyes when I went to Celtic was really something that was pretty impressive. I mean, like, I'll go back to say we met with Peter Lawwell, who is the president of CEO of Celtic. Chairman, I guess, is what you would say. He came in and talked for, you know, 5-10 minutes, and somebody did ask him a question about Rangers, and he politely declined on answering any questions. But he even said that, you know, look, they're working together.
Right.
I mean, even in their situation, they, you know, there's an article somebody said, does Celtic need Rangers as a Ranger need Celtic? And they all need each other.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, because that's, I mean, you know, throughout all of this, and maybe Rangers and Celtic is still one of the most vitriolic rivalries, let's say. I keep trying to tell people, look, if Rangers goes down, it's not good for Celtic.
It's not good for Scottish football.
Exactly.
Really, it's not good for football, period.
Well, just think about the situation the other day, and this is really a funny article that I saw. It's Dunfermline was owed £85,000 from Rangers for last week. Was it 2 weeks ago now? And they had a shortfall in paying their players by £85,000. I think it shows you how fragile some of the makeup of professional soccer is, and even in the UK. And I think you can take that on a larger scale to United, Arsenal, Liverpool.
Yeah. Well, you don't.
I mean, everybody's
Portsmouth,
yeah. Everybody's,
you know, was in the Premier League last
Newcastle.
Year. And, yeah, they're all, you know, I mean, sometimes literally a week away from not being able to play their pay their players.
Right. So, but you know, back to the story, what I was saying is that on Dunfermline, they had a 85,000 pound shortfall in revenue to pay their players, so they couldn't pay everyone out fully. Well, it was due to Rangers going to administration, which couldn't pay for the visiting fan tickets. So
it's crazy, though. You don't realize that.
The economics goes that far. Right. Well, what happened was is that the Rangers fans were so upset that they caused the shortfall at Dunfermline that on March 26th they're having a thing called Down for a Day. That they're going to support Dunfermline.
You posted that, and I thought it was a joke.
They're looking for 2,000 fans to go to Dunfermline and turn into a Dunfermline fan for one day. And they're going to pay extra money on top of their tickets so that they can support Dunfermline.
That's awesome.
Good on
I mean,
good
you
on
know,
those
and
fans.
A fan said, we understand that our club screwed up. We understand that we're in a big hole and that we're going to make it up. Well, Rangers came out today and said, we're going to find a way to pay that, and our fans aren't going to have to do that,
right?
You know, but you know, this
but
the fact
just
tells you the facts
willing
is
to do it, and
I think it goes back to a testament to tell you how big fans are in a game,
right?
You know, I mean, if they don't show up at the ticket counter, they're not going to, you know, some things don't happen. But and you know, it's a shame that that this has all happened. I mean, we were kind of chuckling at it, and I know that there's a lot of Celtic fans out there taking, you know, a great deed of laughter. Yeah. I know I hear the ice cream and jelly all the time over there. but you know, Celtic fans quickly have to remember that back in the 80s they were in administration, you know, and it was only over £2 million, and the Rangers sent a hearse to them,
right?
You know,
right?
So
no,
this wee tax bill of £75 million is
right.
Not so wee.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too is that everybody forgets this can happen instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it you know, just teams like that. There are the big. We'll use Leeds for example.
Yeah,
they bet against themselves and lost.
Right,
and there's a lot of the big clubs, Manchester United, you know, they've been doing this as well. And
well, and it's long been a joke, you know, fourth is the new first or whatever in English football. You know, those top four spots are so valuable, and it used to be okay. It was going to be Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Liverpool for the last however many years. Mm-hmm. And now that fourth spot is up for grabs, and it can really, you know, throw a team who's used to that, you know, $35 million bump every year. They're counting on it.
That Champions League money means a lot to teams.
And so Liverpool dropped out, Arsenal or Chelsea, one of those two is going to drop out at least, right. If maybe both of them.
Newcastle will be in.
Yeah, well, no, seriously, maybe both of them will be out of that fourth spot this year. And you think, you know, everything's going fine. It's sort of like expecting your Christmas bonus every year and then not getting one.
Getting Jelly to Month Club?
Exactly. It's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark, you know. So yeah, I mean, a lot of these clubs count on that, you know, Champions League money. Yeah.
But that comes back to what he was saying earlier, too. That's why you create Champions League players.
Why you? But yep,
you know,
sure.
It comes full circle at this point in time. You're creating those players for that upper level, for that added income. It's the big clubs aren't how many trophies you have; it's how much Champions League appearances you really have.
Right.
I mean, fuck, you don't know half the teams in you know the Dutch league or any of these other leagues, but you know the ones that make Champions League every year.
Right.
You know, you don't know the second division, but you know that big money guy.
Right.
Yeah, and to go back to what, you know, Celtic did for us, opening the doors and showing us everything behind the scenes. And it was, like I said, it was really impressive. I mean, we met everybody from Peter Lawwell down to the lady who cooks the meals for the players.
Right.
And that's amazing, too. I mean, you wouldn't see Bill DeWitt coming out for a tour.
Oh, no.
You know.
There was, I mean, we met, there wasn't a stone unturned. We met everyone. And, you know, the conversation we had with Neil Lennon was really funny, and, you know, it's probably not going to make the – I have the video of it.
Did you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement when you left?
I tell you what, it's just – you know, it's amazing. The I was going to post the video, but, you know, he dropped a couple F-bombs
right.
in the middle.
Right.
You can see the stress that he's under. I physically didn't – I sat in the first row because I said I really would like to see,
sure.
you know, and talked. And so there was – you know,
nerd.
I wanted to shoot the video of it, and you could see just in his eyes how, you know, how intense the and the pressure is on top of him.
Every day. I mean, there's no vacation.
There's no love. I mean, this is a guy who's getting pipe bombs and nail bombs mailed to him. I mean, this is crazy. He can't go anywhere. They opened up the park. They opened up him up to sitting in front of us, and he relaxed once he sat down and started talking. But as soon as he got finished talking to us, it was immediately, you know, cocoon him again so that, you know, to protect him.
That's insane.
But, you know, he was actually talking something really good about Martin O'Neill, because he put it underneath Martin O'Neill. Mm. And he was talking about Udinese when they went in to play in a Champions League game in Udinese. And he says Martin has a different way he wasn't the best tactician, but he had a way of pushing his players the right way. And I see a lot of that in Tony. Tony knows which way to play his players. Right. And, you know, it's not necessarily that. And I'm not saying that Tony's Martin O'Neill. I mean, you know,
right.
Tony's Tony, Martin's Martin. And Martin O'Neill is one of my favorite coaches in all the planet.
Tony doesn't wear the suits.
Yeah, exactly. But he was saying that Martin, he says, they were going into Udinese and they were practicing all week, 4-4-2, 4-4-2, 4-4-2. They're just drilling it into their head. He says 20 minutes before they start the game, or 20 minutes before they get in the locker room, Martin O'Neill comes in. He says, "Oh, we're playing a 3-5-2. Neil Lennon just goes, "We haven't fucking practiced it all week. We haven't done this." and it was just kind of funny, you know. So he kept him on his toes, but he trusted his players and what he was going to play, you know. And he says, "Look," and my favorite player, Henrik Larsson. He says Larsson does what Larsson does, and he scores. And puts us through. So it was kind of an interesting way of listening to, you know, him rattle on.
Right.
But to see that, it made us all laugh, and it made us feel comfortable around him.
Well, and it's also, you know, meeting your heroes and finding out they're real people.
Right.
You know, I mean, aside from the pipe bombs and the, you know, multi-million dollar salaries they're getting.
Oh, John gets those all the time. That's just from me, though.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that had to be an amazing experience for you guys.
It was cool. I think that you know, it's just newfound respect for the club. I think that that's the biggest thing, is what we got out of it, is knowing that they learned things from us.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned a lot from them. You know, they did take away some things from us as far as learning about our fitness and how. And I think they were more impressed about how advanced
the U.S. fitness?
No, not my fitness. Yeah, let's go on that one. But no, I mean, they were more impressed with what the U.S. player or the U.S. coaches were bringing to the table. You could tell that when we first showed up and we started talking, it was more of, you know, here's the way we do it this way. Well, when we started showing what we could do and our knowledge base, they had a different respect, and they started to ask more questions of us as coaches, which was good.
How do you travel 3,000 miles?
But and I mean, we can open that up a little bit to the idea of the American player. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and you know, it is. More people are taking a gamble on American players internationally. Now, obviously, Rangers has done more than Celtic in that arena, and we may be getting a few of those guys back. but through no fault of their own. But, you know, a guy like Dempsey, who, you know, when he went over there, kind of a gamble for Fulham to spend some money on this kid from, you know, New England, and he's tearing it up right now. I mean, he's amazing. I mean,
What are the bets? What badge is he going to wear this coming summer?
I'd like to say Arsenal.
You know, I think Arsenal could use a player like that.
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, is Liverpool going to splash the cash and unload Carroll and pick up Dempsey?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's got to
take Carroll.
Who's going to take Carroll?
I think
they can trade him for Torres straight up.
I mm-hmm. think a better bet might be a club like PSG, who has got some money to spend. Dempsey would be guaranteed Champions League play, which he's stated he's wanted.
If he wants to play in Champions League, he should go to Newcastle.
You know, but
that's an interesting point you make about the PSG. But I think you'd find that he more wants to stay in the English Premier League.
I would hope so. Yeah, it's just a matter of
who's going to be that team.
Will Arsenal do it? Will Liverpool do it?
I wouldn't be so far off to say Chelsea would do it.
Chelsea might be an interesting fit because, you know, I mean, our friend Casey, you know, texted us today. What are you guys going to say about AVP getting the? You know,
I don't think I even need to say anything. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Chelsea is in desperate need of an overhaul. They're old.
They're old,
and not only that, but they're expensive too for old. That's the other thing too.
Yeah, but that pocketbook is there. That's
they
not
still
that
have Roman.
Yeah.
They still have Roman's
they do,
money.
But the thing is that when you spend that much money on bad players like Torres, for example, that's not producing. It's wasted money.
In fairness, that surprised me. I did not think Torres would drop off that much.
The next coach is going to be critical for him.
I think it's more interesting what you see in as far as the league is concerned is the coaching changes that are happening, the players that are moving, because there's going to be a lot of movement this summer.
Yeah.
But who's going to take the England job? They're putting off the England. They're putting off the England position until after the EPL season.
Right.
So that tells me that they're looking at somebody in the EPL.
Well, and I mean,
well, it's got to be the usual suspects.
Everybody said Harry's, you know, the number one, you know, candidate for a while now.
Would he do it though?
Like, I don't know if it's a good move for him.
I don't think it is.
I'm going to say Martin O'Neill.
And you know, one of the podcasts I was listening to said Ray Hudson might be in with a shot. Aside from his Liverpool, you know, blip,
yeah,
which may or may not have been his fault,
right?
He has done some impressive things. Now, could he command the respect of the, you know, the golden boys that England brings in that haven't won anything but think they are God's gift to football? That's another question.
I still deep down say I'd love to see Jose take it over. I know it's never
the England
happen.
Job.
Yes. You know, he's going to be a guest coach, by the way. For the next England international,
I did not.
Apparently they're going to be bringing in different individuals.
Just tryouts.
Yeah, it's basically tryouts.
Seriously, I cannot imagine a better person to take over that train wreck. Because that's why. Seriously, that's.
I've got a better suggestion.
Just think, he's gonna be coaching Stevie Gerrard.
Exactly. As much as I hate Chelsea, and I think that's pretty well documented at this point in time, he's the only one that got that bunch of overpaid pricks to play together successfully.
There's no question. He needed the same thing in Spain.
I love Chelsea.
So if there's anybody that can get a bunch of prima donnas in a national scenario to play together, it's probably him. It'll be entertaining as hell.
When they were you're going off and saying he just bought a house after 20 minutes of seeing it in England.
I've got a better idea. Arsenal, you know, Wenger's run his race at Arsenal. I think it's time. He would be great in a national manager position. He wouldn't have to worry about salary.
I just keep thinking Sven Goren.
I just
see it being Sven.
But how about Arsene Wenger for the England team, and then Arsenal can sign Jose, and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
You had ulterior motive.
The thing is, though, is that, I mean, Arsene couldn't do it because he wouldn't have final say. There's too many people to answer to.
Yeah, well.
You know, I mean, he doesn't get to say, well, I'm never playing him again. You can't not play Gerrard. You know, that kind of thing.
As Mancini's finding out, you will never play for me again until, okay, I guess we got to play, bring him in again.
He still never apologized.
Nope.
Oh, well.
And he won't.
Yeah, actually, when we were overseas last week, they had the highlights of the reserve game, and he's grossly out of shape. He lasted for six months now.
Yeah.
They were down 3-0 at halftime, and he lasted 45 minutes and touched the ball twice. And he said he just couldn't move.
Well, to be fair, the wind did blow out a cigarette.
But again, if you were going to place a bet on Tevez, I would say he will be back in form eventually. He is a hungry, fighting, you know, player. Now, he doesn't want to play there. He will move on at the end of this season, or, you know, they tried to get rid of him in January, couldn't get it done.
Right.
He's great for 2 years at a club. I mean, really great years.
Is that a football club or a nightclub?
Oh, both.
That wasn't Balotelli.
Love Balotelli. God, he's beautiful train wreck.
That's the thing. You don't know what's going to happen.
But he's going to score a goal.
Every goddamn time.
Day of and night before. He's scoring.
Let's see. Let's burn down our house.
Oh,
let's do a PSA for firework safety.
Exactly. You can't write a script for that, can you?
No. I'm going to wreck my Lamborghini, and then I'm going to show up to practice late, and then I'm going to score 3 goals.
And see, that's the thing. The more
then go to
the
strip club and drop
week before, the better he plays.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that was the when he was at Milan or at Inter. His teammates absolutely hated him because he would do that shit. He was 18 years old. He would alienate everybody on the field. He would score a goal and stand there with his arms raised, and no one would come celebrate with him. I mean, because they were all like, God, he's awesome,
he's
but we hate
so,
the guy.
He's got so much talent. So much. I think you guys need that for the Luligans when we score a goal. You know, you guys could raise up a shirt that says, why me? And the other guy could have one that says, why not?
Yeah. Well, and I forget who was it. Was it Objectivo that came out with the shirt?
Because you're an asshole.
Because you're an asshole. Yeah. You know, they had the why always me t-shirts, and then the next shirt, because you're an asshole. But I love that. I love crazy.
And see, that's the thing. It's always so entertaining when they rise, and it's even more entertaining when they fall.
Sure.
Like Cissé was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Go back to Cissé, Gascoigne, Di Canio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can go on and on from them. I mean, everybody's got them. I mean,
Cantona's kung fu kick. Yeah.
Where'd that come from? I mean,
it's Crystal Palace. Yeah, so yeah. Why not?
It's like, I can do anything. Watch. I'm going to kick this man in the face. You know?
I probably deserve
it. Well, I'm sure he had it coming. They all got it coming. But yeah, so yeah, I love the crazy player, and Balotelli is that guy right now. But it's always somebody.
And see, and that's the other thing too, is that those kind of things make that top run so much more interesting in the EPL. Is that, you know, like you said earlier, sometimes it's usually just the same 4 or 5 teams, boring, blah blah blah. When you have somebody that's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Cuz there's a good chance that he could completely burn City out of first place by himself.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah.
Pun intended on burn.
Yeah. Well, somebody asked me the other day when I was on the radio the other day, and he said, do you think United can catch City? And I said, well, basically you're one Balotelli mistake away.
Well, no. I would
truly.
I don't know what the betting line is in England, but I would imagine the odds on him getting a hat trick and him getting a red card are equal.
1-to-1.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, he's going to win the game or he's going to lose it.
You know, in
spectacular fashion either way.
I wonder what the odds are of him scoring 3 goals and getting a red card.
It could happen.
1-to-1.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, guys like that, they make the game entertaining.
So who do we have that's going to get arrested?
Hopefully none of them. Hey, we got to go into Canada twice this year. So we can't have any of that.
Johnny
happening.
Can't make the trip. He got warrants out.
I tell you what, some of those Canadian trips are some of the most fun because, you know, you spend hours and hours in the bus with each other, or you know, and you're telling stories, just trying to buy, you know, go through the time, and then you finally get to the border and somebody doesn't have some paperwork. You know,
looks like you're staying here. We'll pick you up on the way back through.
We've done that before.
Go to the duty free shop. We had
two guys who weren't going to be allowed into Canada, and I won't name names because they, you know, keep them, but they know who they are. So we went through to customs and trying to get through, and they said, "Oh, you're not coming into Canada." And I'm like, "Bob Probert got into Canada." So we turned
me with the usual.
Yeah, we turned around the bus trying to get back into the United States.
They wouldn't let him back in the States either.
And another player didn't have his paperwork, so he couldn't get back into the States.
Right.
So eventually got the two dropped off at the Indian casino down the street for the weekend, and came back and picked up the other guy who couldn't get back in the country. So there was a moment in time when the bus was without a country.
You were in international water.
It's like that Tom Hanks movie where he just lives at
the
airport.
It was, you know, and you sit back and now you laugh about that, you know, and... You know, that was the same trip. Yeah, it was the same trip we went back, and on the way back, just as we came back to pick up the guys and fill up with gas in the bus, and you've seen the big green bus.
Yeah.
That'll no longer make it a trouble. If you haven't been out to the complex and seen the big green bus, it's a treat. And just know that thing made it from St. Louis to Thunder Bay and back.
I'm surprised it made it from St. Louis to Lake St. Louis.
It's mean.
Make it
Put
look
some
mean.
Make it look mean. We actually got up there. So when So when we were leaving the gas station at the Indian Reservation Casino, and I have to preface that because every time I laugh and say that's where we left them.
Because I'm half Chippewa. We got gas 5 cents off.
My question is, did you give them their per diem to gamble?
They had. They actually came running out of it when we picked them up because they said there was nothing but slot machines. It was torture. There was no table games. Yeah. And so we actually did last pre-check of the ride home. And as we shut down the lid of the front of the truck, of the bus, it pinched one of the hoses. And so we had to do a major repair on the radiator line. So we got that fixed, and as we started it up, that's when the clutch finally went out. So we drove.
That was only 2,000 miles to go. Yeah.
I did actually tell Tony. I said the good thing is we're downhill. But we did lose the clutch on the start of the trip on the way home, and 21 hours back to St. Louis.
Oh my! Nice.
In the bus.
So can we just turn that bus into, like, our clubhouse out there?
I think there's a very good possibility for that to
turn
happen.
It into a play place for the kids.
No, for us. No, fuck the kids. It's been
fixed, but there's just too many things that, there's too many things on it that could possibly go wrong, so.
It spontaneously burst into flames. We don't know why.
Well, there's a reason when you're coming back from Springfield and you lose all the lights on the highway.
You got
Johnny crawl out,
Johnny
the
out there with a cell phone. Is it funny that we all think of Johnny as a hood ornament?
Poor Johnny.
All right. Well, I think we've had a pretty good podcast. Jim, why don't you go over some of the dates of the schedule?
Pretty good podcast. We haven't even talked about the schedule.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Jim's going to tell us about the schedule right now.
Yeah, it's just to give you an idea of the schedule. I know it's out there, but a lot of people probably haven't gone and looked at the website. I actually do want to say, please go to www.stllions.com to look it up and get your tickets for the first game, which would be on May 26th, first home game. Also, for more information on the league, I think for fans that are out there, don't just follow us. Follow the other teams that are in the league, the USL.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you find out a lot about, different things.
There's a lot of good things happening with other clubs that are out there. So,
and there's a lot of ideas to steal.
Yes.
And the league itself, they put out a lot of good stories, too.
Yeah.
About teams throughout the country. So, yeah. USL, PDL, either their Twitter feed and their Facebook page. Check those out.
That would be the USLsoccer.com if you go to that. But just to review some of the things we have, you guys ready for May 12th? You guys want to go up to Des Moines?
We might do that. It was fun last time.
Yeah, May 12th is the first game of the season. A little earlier. We don't have the U.S. Open Cup qualifiers that are this year.
Yeah, that's for those
that was
of kind of
kicking
the
gut.
The system changed a little bit. And I don't know if they changed it to incorporate the NASL that wasn't in last year or why it changed exactly, but the Lions aren't a part of the U.S. Open Cup this year.
No, they're changing it up for the qualification, trying to extend out the season a little bit more and bring in the Canadian teams.
Okay.
So as you can see, the next two games on the road are up in Winnipeg.
That's the long road trip
to Winnipeg. I always say that. Every time I say Winnipeg, everybody goes, "What?" And I'm like, "Yes, they're in our division."
Well, it's funny because a couple weeks ago, I sat down with a map.
Yeah.
And I made like 8 copies of it, and I took different colored highlighters, and it's like there is no way to get around.
And we've got a Chicago team, we've got a Nashville team, and it's like
we've got teams
Louisville,
like,
and we're in a league in a division with Winnipeg,
Winnipeg, Thunder Bay, and
right.
and Denver,
yeah. Yeah.
Real Colorado. So after those three games, that should be a good test for us, especially Des Moines' a rival for us. They're always close games. We always seem to split the season, and if not, I mean, we struggled with them a little bit last year. But the two teams, we don't like each other.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we did Lilligans that made the road trip. We outnumbered their supporters group.
Yeah, but they did have a good crowd. They had a big crowd. Did. They've got a nice facility.
But they were uneducated.
They were uneducated. They didn't serve beer. So there was two strikes right there.
But John did get a walking
taco. John got a walking taco. So.
And that's not some sort of an hero.
No. No, I'm not talking about Liz.
Oh.
What? Oh, I see what you're saying. No, that's not what I meant. Sorry, Liz.
All right, moving on.
Keith I'm wondering if we might see a Wookiee or a Squatch up in Des Moines.
A Squatch? Well, I don't know about Des Moines, but I've heard Cottleville's a little squatchy.
We'll have to see what happens on that one.
You could use one of those outfits up there in Des Moines from that last road trip.
Might
that
be a Squatch.
Hey,
there
was enough mist that you could have had a Squatch out there. That was
saying.
Pretty good.
Some of those girls looked a little bit squatchy up there in Des Moines.
Those were girls.
So let's see. Okay, so May 12th we start in Des Moines, May 19th and 20th against Winnipeg. Hopefully we have three victories to come back with to open up the season.
Big
and
home opener.
Home opener back against the Des Moines Menace again. We always like to have them as as a home opener to bookend their season. So that's on May 26th. It is at 5 p.m. All the games that you see online are with an Eastern time zone, so don't get fooled by that if you go to the USL website. But
or Floodplain Footy has all of them with
yes,
our time frame.
Floodplain, yeah, they do a good job covering us. We appreciate that very much.
We need to get as many people to that home opener
yes.
as we can.
Yeah, so definitely.
Let's just scare the shit out of them.
Well, and we bring it up. Get somebody out there, they'll come back. So let's do it for the home opener so they'll be back all season.
Yep. So then after the 26th, on the 31st of May, we go down to Springfield, and it's a Thursday night game. So, Springfield is always good for a midweek game.
Yeah.
And it does balance out the schedule well because then, you know, we can come back on the 2nd and play Springfield at home.
But it sucks, though, because those would be great games for road trips, and they're on weeknights.
Yeah, I understand.
That kind
of
hurts.
See, that's one of the benefits that we have from our organization is that we own the complex. So they're actually getting dates from the locations, and that's the same thing that happens with Kansas City. Sure. They're only given so many dates that they can work through, and when we do the scheduling, I wish you guys could actually be in the room for scheduling because it's really interesting. I hope that the Major League, I would like to see Major League Baseball, the NHL, and NFL football do this, you know, scheduling the way we do. We sit around the table and argue over dates.
Can't do that. We got a rodeo that night.
Exactly.
Nope, pro wrestling that day.
Yep, and it's kind of entertaining. So,
I mean, it's good for you guys because God knows the worst part of your job has to be the budgeting of the travel money.
Yeah.
So great that you can run to Springfield and back on a Tuesday or a Thursday. Little less convenient for the fans because Kansas City, you know, would be a great road trip, and it's on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, whatever it works out. We're still going to try to maybe do some of those close road trips, but, you know, people have to take a day off work or whatever.
Right. And that's understandable. I mean, but, you know, we're going to try and do some things this year with some podcasts possibly or with some recording of some videos from the games and displaying them. So, you know, there'll be ways. We're getting better and better at trying to bring the game to you guys, especially when we're on the road. And you know what? Heck, just get on our Twitter feed.
Yeah.
I'm going to set up another Twitter account here for us to just have the match updates.
Yeah, a lot of teams
as opposed
are doing
to,
that.
Yeah, I think it's a bunch of, you know, we don't want to overload some of the people who are already following us. But give an opportunity for everybody to keep tabs on what we're doing.
Can you tweet a picture of a strip club like MLS did the other day?
Did you see that?
I didn't see that. What happened?
Evidently, one of the guys who, just for those of you who don't have a Twitter feed, like the St. Louligans have a Twitter feed. Right now I'm the one that updates it. But I can give Mitch the password so Mitch could update it if I'm, you know, unavailable or whatever. I don't know how many guys man the MLS Twitter feed.
The official
MLS Twitter feed. But whoever's was on duty the other day evidently thought he was logged into his personal account, but he was logged into the official MLS Twitter and posted a billboard from a strip club and I forget what the caption was, but it was...
It was the billboard said something, strippers, blah, 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 blah. And his caption was, you had me at strippers.
Yeah. And that was on the official MLS Twitter feed for about an hour before
season
somebody...
starts Sunday.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. I think, you know, job done. You got some publicity for the league, but I don't know if they'll take it that way.
I don't think...
So, yeah.
Gary Bettman is not going to be posting the same thing.
We had if you ever go out on Highway 70 and you're passing Columbia, the Lion's Den.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. Let's just say the team wanted to take a team photo.
I'm guessing
not
Tony
happening.
Tony was not down with that.
No, he was definitely not.
If Uncle Jim was in charge of that road trip, you probably would have stopped. But.
Can we get our per diem now?
So then we come back on June 2nd. Let's get back to the schedule,
sure.
Man.
We'll talk about sponsorship opportunities in a minute.
So on June 2nd, we got Springfield. Springfield is coming to visit us. And on June 8th and 9th, we got the Thunder Bays. Thugger Bay is coming into town.
Thunder.
Yeah, Thunder. Those guys are coming into town on June 8th and 9th. June 16th and 17th, Real comes into town for two games. Thunder Bay. I'm sorry. We go to Thunder Bay. I'm sorry. That's when we make that other long trip up to Canada. But then we come back with Real, Colorado. Kansas City comes to town, and then Thunder Bay comes back into St. Louis. And that game is actually particularly interesting because we're going to once again have that game over at Lindenwood University.
Why do you keep doing that? I thought Thunder Bay was the one that you guys wanted us to get into. And we have to do it sober.
Well, they come in for the two games, and that Saturday is something that Tony's really working with Lindenwood at future expansion, what we have. I'm not happy about the setup with that issue, but, you know, the great thing is that it is a great stadium.
Yeah.
It's
unbelievable. You should see the improvements they made since we've been there last time. Mm-hmm. They added a whole other wing to it.
Kidding.
No.
Well, and last year we used that Lindenwood game as an opportunity for the Luligans to have family day.
Which we'll do again this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, since we can't get drunk and stupid, we bring the wife and kids. but that was that's a good...
Wait, that sounds like punishment.
Yeah, it kind of is. But no, I mean, it was actually good to have all the guys and the girls with their kids out there having fun, having
your
a good
daughter
time.
Insulting the midget player.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, we got to keep her away from Kyle.
Chip off the old block.
Well, yeah, I mean, it became a game. Let's see what we can get her to say next. And she has no filter when it comes to that kind of thing. Mom, is it okay if I say what Kyle tells me? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Good parenting there.
Yeah, it was. She's a delight.
And then we head up to Kansas City on July 3rd and July 10th, and back home on the 15th.
No, that July 3rd, that's a Tuesday night, I think.
That is a Tuesday.
That might be one that we might consider this year.
Yeah, we talked about that because most of us have July 4th off work anyway.
Right.
So that might be fun to do. Plus, we talked about there's a Wizards game.
Yes.
On that Saturday. So.
Yeah, that might be kind of tough. Because it's Saturday to Tuesday.
Yeah, but, you know,
you mean a Sporting KC.
Sorry. I'm going to call him the Wiz. They will forever be
the Wiz.
But, yeah, no, I figure we'll just crash on Uncle Dan's couch for a week. He won't mind.
You, me, and John were probably okay.
Yeah.
If you've never been to that stadium up there, I mean, I would love to have a stadium like that here in St. Louis. Yeah.
I have not been yet, but I've heard it's awesome.
It's first class.
Pressure's on.
Yeah,
I know the pressure's on.
Say, that's on.
Pressure
you.
Is definitely on.
Yeah,
but it's
you
unbelievable.
You guys break ground next year, right?
got my little shovel.
I think, you know, if I do win the Powerball, I'd like to build a copy of Live Strong for the Lions.
It would be very nice and very welcome.
However, if we do, can we do it around here so I don't have to drive so far?
Yeah, we'll pick the
because I got real used to that. 8-minute drive to AC St. Louis, and we need to bring that back again.
Yeah, we can doze soccer park and build our own. We'll build it right next door at the old auto plant.
Nothing's going on there. Yeah. They got rid of all the asbestos. That's okay. All right,
but so we're excited about the season and we're looking forward to it. So
us too. Yeah,
it's funny too because I see so many people posting. Is it season yet?
Yeah. Well, and it's really painful right now because, you know, MLS kicks off on the 11th, which is Sunday.
ISL is over.
But yeah, USL Pro, NASL, MLS, they're all getting ready to go. And we're like, oh, we have to wait another month before we start, you know. So, but we're going to have fun. We're going to watch the MLS. You know, Jim was talking with us. We're all excited about this new MLS season. And just because you're an MLS fan or you're an EPL fan, that doesn't prevent you from coming out and enjoying the USL. And live soccer...
Actually, I think it makes you obligated.
It should. Live soccer is definitely... It takes it up a notch. And
you can't explain it. I mean, that's the hardest thing is that you try to tell somebody, you need to go, why? It's different.
It's different, but think of it this way. 70% of the players that were drafted in Major League Soccer draft this year all came out of the PDL.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Just a few short years ago,
you had Heinemann and Bunbury.
Teal Bunbury played 15 minutes in a game and scored against us at our own out in St. Charles.
Just a few years ago.
Teal was there. I mean, when I saw him at the Herman Trophy Award dinner, I asked him, I said, you know, you remember playing? And he says, yeah, I remember coming to St. Louis and playing.
Yeah. And this is a kid who's most likely going to be on the Olympic team for the USA. He's been in the full national men's national team and you know, is a star for the Wiz or Sporting KC, depending on your perspective. But you know, one of the MLS's up and coming, you know, hot young players.
Right.
And a big career ahead of him. He was at the Lions facility playing just a few years ago.
I think it was the number one draft pick last year. I'm sorry, one of the top draft picks last year for Des Moines in the first round of MLS draft. You know, he was played twice, three times at our place last year.
And that's the other thing, too, is that not only is that happening, but, you know, when a couple of weeks ago we got an email from Chicago Fire saying, hey, do you guys want a deal on tickets to come up and visit us? People are taking notice. It's better to be part of it now than to be that guy standing at the bar and feeding a line of bullshit to somebody saying, oh, I was there at the beginning.
Well, and I mean, that's the great thing about, I mean, Timbers Army, all hail the Timbers Army and the work they're doing up there in Portland. But their numbers doubled overnight when they became MLS. A lot of those guys weren't there from the beginning.
Right.
You got an opportunity to be here.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're going to be MLS next season. But I'm saying get in on the ground floor here with the Lions. We've got a good thing. I mean, I know 90% of the players by their first name.
And when I die, I want to have a scarf.
And the first Lulligan that dies gets a scarf.
Well, you got to be a first-tier Lulligan. You can't be like,
right.
You know, one of these guys.
Well, you get a button at least.
Hey, so, he was such a good guy.
Yeah. So, come on out and really, you're...
And the other thing is, too, and since Jim's here, he can back me on this, that he's actually said this out loud and on record. Bring your banners, bring your TIFO, bring your signs, bring whatever the hell you want.
No flares.
No flares.
Sorry.
Oh.
I know. Yeah, it's just
he's just got to say that. You can bring them.
What about a cannon?
Air cannon?
I'm not putting any qualifiers on this. I said cannon.
Yeah, just cannon.
Nick Cannon?
Can of what?
Cannon inkjet printer so we can throw it on the field.
That's right.
No.
I hate my picks.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's great fun.
I mean, like, you know, last year Jesse and Cody brought the Blame Canada one.
Yeah.
Which was fucking great. Petrillo brought the awesome Tony one.
Yeah. First time ever making a banner. He did a pretty good job on his Tony
banner.
It was
pretty darn funny.
Yeah.
I actually like that one, and I see it in the pictures.
Yeah. It's like, that's just great. But that's the thing. We can do this stuff. We have the real estate to do it. We can get away with a lot within reason, as long as we're not, like, raping goats or something.
Listen, we'll work with you. We will work with you to let you have some fun.
I'm sorry, John. You can't rape goats anymore.
Yeah. A squatch.
Squatch does.
You got to move up in life.
Yeah.
Aim high.
I think if you can hang on to a squatch for 8 seconds, you get a trophy.
That might be a halftime show. Yeah.
Come on out, kids. Watch a guy ride a squatch if you know what I'm saying.
No, we would like to absolutely work with all the supporter groups, you know, and everybody who comes out and says, you know, how they want to support and make noise and create an environment that's that is second to none in the entire PDL.
Yeah.
And help us develop that environment that, like I said, attracts that next level investor to help us get there.
Definitely.
Well, and you've said this before, and now's a great time to mention it too as well. We kind of got a reputation already a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
When you guys were at the meetings, it came
up. There are not a lot of PDL clubs that have a supporters group. And, you know, we've been name dropped by the USL on Twitter.
Yeah.
We're part of the United Supporters Council of the United States, which has, you know, groups from all the major MLS clubs. I mean, I think we're the only PDL club in that group.
I love the fact that it's the only supporters group that's from the PDL level. Everybody else is MLS.
Damn,
and you've got
right.
PDL, and I'm like, they're ours.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you know, we're looking for everybody. You know, no matter what you can do, there's a place for you in our group. You know, whether you just want to sit there and have fun and clap and chant a little bit and drink a few beers.
If you want to come out and barbecue.
If you want to barbecue. If you want to put up, you know, a TIFO as big as the stadium. You know, we'll help you out.
If you want to put on a Squatch outfit and run around the woods.
Yeah. If you want to let John ride you. That's, we may have to do you that, know, you know, and after if, the game. But
and let's make it a point. I mean,
you don't have to be.
you have
Viagra problems there. The
get that drop.
But that's the thing is that you don't. I mean, if you don't want to be a part of the Luligans, you are a Luligan, first off, is if you're supporting soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you don't want to be in that group, then you want to start your own supporters group, go right ahead.
Yeah.
We'll support everybody.
We're in. I mean, because there's still, you know, there's Laclede's Army within us still. There's the STL Ultra still. We're all together. It's not, you know, it's us or nobody else.
Right. And I mean, even the MLS clubs have several supporter groups. You know, maybe you want to start your own that maybe is a little less beer centric, or whatever. But we can work together.
Do we need a battalion? Is that what they call them now?
We need a capo up at top. You know, leading the chants. But that's
Kyle in his cage is probably close enough.
So, again, we invite everybody whether they want to be. St. Luligan by name or just a fan of soccer, come out to Lions Park this year and let's have some fun.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you got there on sponsorships? You dropped that earlier.
Sponsorships.
Pressure. Jim's all about the money at the end of the day. So now that I've been nice, open up your wallet, fast.
Those of you who have business connections or friends and family who maybe own a business, there are sponsorship levels, sponsorships at various levels available at the Lions. Contact the Lions office either through the website or if you go to the website, you can get the phone number and information for Michael, maybe.
I would say that the best thing is that we do have set packages that are set out there for targeting specific businesses. But, you know, just because we have a set target doesn't mean that we can't customize something to your business.
Right.
Michael and I work extensively on, you know, fitting the right package, right advertising package with your business to make it work for us. So it's a win-win situation. The last thing we want is for somebody to come out on a short end of something when we need to deliver a certain product on the field and the amount of fans, and you're delivering a product that you want to promote.
And we're admittedly, we're quick to jump on those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean,
And I'll admit to it, is that I changed gas stations because I found out that the Shell up the street is a Fastlane one.
Nice!
But that matter. I mean, it's stupid.
Jim Baker, did you just hear that? We got a Fastlane down here.
but it matters because it's like those are the guys that are spending the money on me. Gas is the same price anywhere you go.
Right.
You can have, when I go buy my Monster energy drink,
there
sponsor
you go.
The Lions.
But no, I mean, these things do make a difference, and I think they're you know, Jim, you and Michael probably have the studies that show how loyal soccer fans are to, you know, sponsoring brands, and that's happening in the MLS now. More and more brands are sponsoring clubs. We are very loyal.
We love our Amway.
Yeah, well, but they paid and they got their name on the shirt. But whether it's a bar that sponsors the Lions will be more likely to get Luligan business, whether it's a, you know, a car wash, whatever it is.
And we're up for being sponsored too as well.
I'm glad you said Luligan business when you said a bar.
Well, you know, but
I thought you were going to say we'd be more apt to get looped.
No. Well,
that is Luligan business. Yeah.
But
we are professionals.
But no, I mean, anybody that wants to sponsor the Lions, I think they'll be rewarded by, you know, the fans' business because
you're very right.
We appreciate those who are actually putting money towards the group that we like.
Soccer fans are fickle. We don't.
Loyal.
We're loyal and we're fickle. Well, I mean, for example, if you're watching a certain oblong ball every Sunday, you're hit over the head with drink Bud Light, drive a Ford truck, blah.
Yeah.
And you go into the parking lot at those events, and that's what's in the parking lot, and that's what they're drinking. But they're not necessarily intelligent decisions. It's blasted. Where soccer fans are like, we're not going to be swayed by stupid, you know, girls in tight shirts. Well, but you know, it's like, okay, you did the right thing by us. We're going to do the right thing by you. There's a personal connection.
And it's funny. I read, and I, of course, I didn't print it out or bring it with me.
You didn't read.
No, I did read. I can read.
Somebody read it to you.
I'm smart. No, I read a thing. Barbasol just signed a deal with
yes.
Columbus Crew. Got Barbasol across the jersey. I read it's already paying off. I read that, you know, a lot of the Crew sponsor or supporters groups are buying Barbasol shaving cream to shave their beards and heads with now.
Tommy's shaving? Come on now.
Well, yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, is Tommy going to shave?
Maybe Tommy's not the ideal choice.
What? He's going to shave.
Thanks. Tommy's kind of a squatch. but no, these things matter. Whether it's, you know, Bimbo supporting the union.
Some good, tasty kicks.
So, yeah, I mean, Mitch switching gas stations because Fastlane was a sponsor of the Luligans. Things like that are great. And so, yeah, get a hold of the Lions. Go to their website. The contact information is there.
Yeah, if you have a product out there or a business out there that wants to sponsor with the Lions, do us a favor. Give us a call at 636-939-5151. Or go to the website at www.stllewis.com and look for Michael's email address, and we can get that done.
Yeah, and tell him you heard about it on the podcast, so we get a little taste of that.
Yeah.
We got to wet our beaks, too. This beer you've been drinking ain't free, man.
All right. Well, I think it's been a pretty good podcast. We
got to thank Jim for coming down.
Yeah, definitely.
No, I want to thank you guys for having me on. It's been really nice. It's been, you know, fun to have a good chat. I think we've talked a lot about stuff here, and
you're welcome anytime. Seriously, you're bored, and you're like, "Hey, I want to like shoot the shit and drink some beer."
Oh, we'll have to do this again
anytime. And we've already talked about it several times. We are gonna have Tony on at least once this year. We're gonna try to get him on more than once, but I know that with the schedule and all that, and
maybe we'll do a little less drinking when Tony's on. Do a little more professional podcast.
I think. Well. We need to have one where it's the professional one, and then we also need to have one where Tony tells stories.
I do want
to
hear Tony's stories. Yeah, Tony's got some great stories.
Because there's a story about a dog that you guys can and no, it's not that kind of story.
No, it's not a typical Luligan dog story.
It's a loyalty story.
Tony's got some great stories from back in Glasgow.
Yeah, so those are the kind of things that we really want everybody to be able to appreciate and hear. And you, again, this is the kind of access that nobody else gets. So
yeah.
let's get it while we can, because at some point in time, Tony will be...
Tony and Jim will be too good for us.
I know.
They'll pretend like they never knew us.
They'll be flying on their jet like Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, shit, we got nothing.
I hope it ends up that way.
I hope I get big enough to forget you assholes.
Hey, well, let me wrap it up with this and say, hey, I hope that, you know, we have a successful season. I'm looking forward to seeing the Luligans. We enjoy having you guys out there, and come and get as loud as you can. Bring as much stuff as you can to make the noise and bring the environment. But the biggest thing is tell your buddies, tell your friends, tell your family to go out to www.stlewislions.com. Get some tickets.
Yep.
Let's get the fan support. We'll see you out there on May 26th.
Thanks
a lot,
Jim. Challenge
has been issued. You need to step up. Thanks for coming down, Jim. Thanks to John. Happy birthday, Mike, you silly son of a bitch.
He looks thrilled to be here.
He's a miserable bastard.
He's been sick for a while.
That's all right. Fuck him.
He might puke any moment.
I'd prefer not. So
happy eighth birthday.
Yeah, we're going to try to get another one probably the week after the St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, watch the Twitter feed. Watch the Facebook pages. We're going to be getting some info out about that.
Do we have what those Twitter feeds are?
The Lions are at St. Louis Lions.
St. Louis Lions.
St. Louis Lions. And the St. Louligans are at St. Louligans.
So check them out. You know where we're at on Facebook. You know where we're at on Twitter. You know our websites. Jim's giving you phone numbers. You have no excuses. Get up off your asses. Make it happen this year. Time's a-wasting.
Get involved.
Season starts in 6 weeks.
Roughly. Let us know how much you care with your cash, checks, and currency.
Special hello to the people overseas that are listening to us.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fans that are actually on our Twitter account from Glasgow.
Awesome. And as soon as this podcast is up live, we'll disseminate that information and we'll get some people listening.
You got it.
Get up on it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. See ya. Twice.